Good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome you here in Jesus' name. It's a small crowd today, so I'm still nervous. I don't know if it'll help when all the outreach gets started or not. It does feel a little bit better, maybe. If you want to turn to Matthew 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, verse 19 and 20. This is Jesus talking here, and he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And also Mark 1, verse 16. Mark 1, verse 16. I'll read verse 16 through 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And then also Luke 5, verse 2. Verse 2 through 11. And this was Jesus again. I could have started there at first one. We'll just start at verse 1 and read 3:11. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So this morning I was wanting to look at fishing, or fishing for men, as Jesus used here, the phrase Jesus used. And I don't know how many people here really enjoy fishing. I know there's a few, but I wouldn't call myself a real fisherman. I enjoy a little fishing, and I enjoy catching a fish, but I don't stay real long fishing. If a fish is going to go home with me, he needs to get on the hook pretty quick, because I don't want to wait. And it's pretty easy for me to think there's no fish there. We've went to Lake Charles quite a bit and fished from the bank, and I don't catch no fish at Lake Charles. I might have caught a real little one time, and it's easy for me to think there ain't no fish in Lake Charles. It ain't no good. But I know there's fish in Lake Charles, because I've seen fish around the banks, nice fish, and I've heard of people that caught nice fish in Lake Charles. So I don't feel like I'm a very good fisherman as far as fishing. Is there a reason Jesus used this phrase, fishers of men? And what's it take to be a good fisherman? So what it takes to be a good fisherman is patience. You got to be patient. The ability to not give up when you don't catch anything. A real fisherman is slow to say, there's no fish. He believes they're there. He just got to figure out how to catch them. A fisherman has to be observant, know when the condition's right. When, with the technology today, it makes fishing a little easier. In Jesus' day, fishermen were known for being courageous and daring, regularly putting their lives on the line. They worked long hours, were strong and independent men with patience and determination. They were multilingual. I had to look that up to even see what it meant, but they knew more than one language, basically, or a lot of them did. They were skilled people, and they had some business smarts. They were good at teamwork, and yet they were not considered social elites. They were low-class people. They were also known for having faith. So what does this tell us about fishing? What it tells me is that it takes effort to catch fish. And is it any wonder that Jesus wanted these kind of people working for him, being fishers for men, fishing for men? When Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," he was inviting them to change their focus from catching fish or their work to bringing people into the kingdom of God. And so I thought about myself, what is my focus? Is it on my work? Or am I looking for people while I'm working to interact with, to somehow help into the kingdom of God? Is it good enough to just go to work and hope my life shines bright for God? It's something that I feel like God's Spirit has been speaking to me, because sometimes I feel short on being able to work anyway, so when I go to work, I focus on work because I want to get all the work done I can, and then I focus on work, and I'll see, you know, we always bump into people as we go through life, and as we bump into people in a gas station, in a workplace, whatever it is, what do they take from us when they meet us? Somebody that is focused on their work? Or are we interested in them? Are we seeking people to bring into God's kingdom? Too often my focus is on what I've got going on instead of helping God catch a hold of people. And I'm not saying it's bad to be busy. It's good to be busy. I think God wants us to be busy. The country we live in, it's easy to be busy. And it's easy to be too busy to fish. Do I have fishing for men in my schedule? You know, I put whatever other things I deem important in my schedule other than my work. Do I have seeking men for Jesus? Do I have that in my schedule? Is it there? Let's remember, real fishermen catch fish. You know, they do better than I do. My boy, Reagan, he catches fish, but he fishes a lot longer than I do. And he's successful. He catches fish. Luke 16, verse 10. Either I'm at the wrong spot or I've got the wrong verse. Sure why I have Luke 16:10, but I think the verse is, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It takes effort. You have to seek. We sang that song, Fill Up My Cup, and it said in there that once I was lost, but now I am found. And being found has the thought, it gives the thought that somebody was seeking you, that it took action. Let's not let our responsibilities in providing for our families or our desire to gain earthly things hinder our fishing for men. In Luke 2, where Peter had fished all night and no fish were to be had, and then Jesus told Peter to leave down the net, and he overflowed his boat with fish so that they had to call their friends and to even get all the fish. That told Peter that God would take care of his needs if he followed him. It tells us today the same thing, that if we follow God, he will take care of us. He can supply our needs where we don't think there's nothing there to supply it. And this is not permission to be lazy. This is not permission to not work, and God's going to provide your need. That's not what he's saying. This isn't permission to do that. But do we have the courage to follow God, to follow his leading when we go seeking people for him and trust him to supply some of these needs that we might wonder where they're going to get supplied? Today, when you catch a little fish, it's not that good. It's not worth making much mention of. A big fish is what gets a picture took of. In the Bible times, they cast a net, and if they caught a fish, and it was, I'm not sure how it was designed, but it's easy for me to think that the nets were, they had holes in them to where the little fish fell out, and then the big enough ones got held in it. But I would say there was probably some fairly small fish in the net, along with the bigger ones. And they was worth keeping. They was fish for them. And probably there was some big, well, we know there was some big ones in there, some big enough to hold money in its mouth. Remember where they was needing to pay the temple tax, and Jesus told Peter to go catch a fish and get money out of its mouth. So that had to be a pretty good sized fish for that. So they would have been big and little. But thinking back to small fish that don't get attention in today's world, could this be a little how we view our children? They grow up in our homes and we bring them to church and we don't pay them much attention. And we're after that big fish. We're after that horrible person that we can save. And we're out after that something big, instead of viewing our children as they need sought after too. Instead of working to make sure that they get into God's kingdom, we're trying to catch bigger fish. In Mark 10, verse 13, read verse 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Jesus was putting a lot of importance on these little fish. And let's not just assume that these little fish will get in the boat without help. I was thinking of the outreach and when the outreach starts and the new church starts there, it will be a new area, a new lake, whatever, however you want to think about it, to fish for souls, to fish for men. I don't say this lightly because we're not one of them that's moving. But if God is calling you there, he'll provide for you just as he does for all of us. And he'll provide when Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you wonder how it will be provided for. I could bring you a black book with information in it from when this church started, and the offerings back then would probably amaze you. $700, maybe less than that. I'm talking about regularly. And you see what we have today. Business has been good. Things have got a lot better. And I wasn't here then, but I wonder today, is how did this church's reputation in the company, in this community, get to what it is today? Was it from the startup when things were hard? Was there more soul seeking? Was there more seeking for men to fill God's kingdom back then? Was there the same amount of that going on today as it was then? Just a question. I had to think of Tony's going to Africa. And, you know, God sees their needs ahead of them. And maybe it looks big. Maybe there's questions. How will it work out? And yet, if God's calling them there, then He'll provide. He will provide for them. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, when Jesus, at the end of his ministry, before he left, he didn't tell his disciples to have church and sing until he returned. He wanted them to do that, but he told them to go and tell, to go seek souls for him, to cast the gospel out to people. And when I look at this and I look at my life and what I'm doing, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm fishing for men for God's kingdom like I should be. I don't know what all that means for me. I don't know what God would have me to do or not do and some of that. So you can pray for me in that, because I feel like it should be different than what it is in my life. And you can guarantee the devil wants us. He wants us to be too busy. He wants us to be going after more income, more of the things that are important. They are godly and right to do, and yet he wants us to focus too much on that. So that's all I have today, and I would just like to say God bless you to each one of you as you follow God and fish for men. So let's stand for prayer.